This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf for more information. I'm Rob Hernandez. That's Gary D'Amato. You are listening to Talking.Golf. And Gary, I had an opportunity to talk to Scott Kennedy. We'll have a Wisconsin.Golf conversation coming up here later this week with Scott. 100% job placement rate. Gary, that's since 1999. Every kid that's come into the program has gone out with a job. Pretty impressive what they're doing down there at Southwest Tech.
Oh, man. That's really nothing short of incredible. You know, we did the story earlier this year, Rob, on Wisconsin.Golf, on the golf industry and how, you know, so many facets of the golf industry are looking for employees and need employees. And what they're doing down there at Southwest Tech, they're putting people in the pipeline for these jobs that are you know, these companies really need people, good qualified people, and Southwest Tech is sending them out. And it's great that all these young men and women are getting jobs immediately in the golf business.
And in fact, Scott referenced your story, Gary, because he talked about the virtual dearth of assistant pros and assistant superintendents, which was something that you covered in that story. And that remains, you know, the case. And I had no idea until I talked to Scott, he was referencing their partnerships with Iowa State and Michigan State. I'm trying to think, Iowa State, Michigan State, those aren't your PGM programs. No, those are the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America universities that have turf grass management programs. And so they're sending people into the turf grass field. They're sending people into the golf business. And one of the great stories he talked about was a recent grad now having the opportunity to have his first job, the choice between Whistling Straits and Milwaukee Country Club. Only in Wisconsin, Gary, can you have those two opportunities at your fingertips when you leave Southwest Tech, a two-year school that probably didn't cost that young man very much to attend.
Rob, that's like you getting a job offers from Sports Illustrated and the New York Times. Which one would you pick, right? Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, Gary, it's kind of a somber week around Wisconsin.Golf. We had a story up on our website throughout the weekend. Arnold Walker, a much beloved rules official in the state of Wisconsin, passed away at the age of 97. I saw Arnold last year at the Wisconsin PGA Junior Championship, and it's been years since I've covered, the state amateur and the state open on a regular basis when Arnold would be a fixture, not in the fairways, usually but off to the side waiting to be called upon. What an incredible man and just one of the good guys of golf that you and I have encountered.
Yeah, definitely, Rob. I love Randy Warbeck's story. Randy Warbeck, now the president of the WSGA, talking about, Arnold, if anyone who knew Arnold knew he was compassionate, had a huge heart, loved golf. Randy called him the epitome of volunteerism, which I think is a great description for Arnold, but really a stickler on pace of play. He hated slow play. And I love the story about the Billy 60, where Randy Warbeck's their playing partners showed up 30 seconds late for their tee time. And Arnold turned to one of them and said, "That's two for you." And turned to the other guy and said, "And that's two for you." Those guys were never late for a tee time again. But yeah, I loved Arnold. I thought the world of him. A great deal of respect and admiration.
I've really enjoyed seeing the reaction to the story that you wrote over the weekend, Gary, from people of all ages, all genders. And Mark Wilson had a story. You referenced the story of the time that Nikki Stricker got caught talking to Arnold and missed about two holes of Steve's tournament. And that was typical Arnold. He was never bashful about carrying on a great conversation. And you never really wanted to leave, did you? It was oftentimes talking to Arnold beat the alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was so much fun to talk to, knew so much about golf. Obviously knew the rules inside and out. Up until very recently, he still served as a rules official, you know, in his mid-90s. He had slowed down some, obviously, in recent years. But, boy, every tournament I covered in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, Arnold was at. And he was at all the tournaments I wasn't at. So he was everywhere.
It's great. I'm going over our wist.golf Twitter handle here, Gary. Bob Gregorski with a story. Paul LeCicero. Owen Butler, a lot of our favorites, but then, you know, Mark Wilson takes me back to many WSGA events, seeing Arnold walking around, joking around with everyone. He had his serious side, especially when it came to slow play, as you referenced, but he was always there to greet you with a smile. And rules officials, Gary, you don't want to get on their bad side, and you don't want to be a Bryson DeChambeau to a guy like Arnold Walker.
No, he was fair but firm, compassionate, but absolutely follow the rules to a T, and you had better be on your P's and Q's around the rules when you talk to Arnold, because he knew him inside and out.
And we have a lot of great rules officials that I think you know, followed Arnold and have learned from him, and the great rules officials at the WSGA, Bill Linneman, Rob Jansen, and that entire crew that they've got working there now. Not only are they proficient, Gary, but they're likable. I think of especially with the junior ranks, how people enjoy seeing Gary Wild at a lot of the events, because, again, much like Arnold, fair but firm and there to help. And, it's not as easy sometimes, especially when you're young, to get into competitive golf when you're not sure, if you run afoul of the rules, you know, how to get out of it. Those people are there to help you. And I tell you, we're blessed with a great group of people in that area.
Yeah, we sure are, Rob. And I guess there's no bigger testament to what Arnold Walker meant to golf than the fact that he was a high handicapper who struggled to break 100. And yet he's in the Wisconsin Golf Hall of Fame, which says everything about what he contributed to our game in our state.
Absolutely. So Arnold Walker leaves us at the age of 97. And then for those of you that follow televised golf, Gary and I, one of our favorites, Peter Allis, passed away over the weekend, the longtime ABC, BBC golf commentator. When it was a major championship and Peter Allis was talking, you listened. It was great. The stories were great. The opinions were great. The inflection will be unforgettable.
Absolutely. I think of Peter Allis, I think of economy of verbiage. Every word, every sentence he said, had a point, was interesting. Some commentators drone on and on, and it's like, get to the point, you know, but with Peter, he was right to the point, and it was a lot of fun to listen to him over the years.
There was a certain reverence about Peter Allis, and I think often imitated but never duplicated. I sense a little bit of Peter in what Nick Faldo does, but I don't think he's quite there yet. I think Peter had this great way of expressing an opinion without squashing somebody. I mean, it was, almost a little bit of a wry sense of humor that, kind of got to the point quickly, as you said, efficiency in the way he delivered it. And one of many, I think, golf commentators, Gary, that you and I grew up with that we miss from the telecast. If Peter Allis had come along in the infancy of the Golf Channel, I think, and would have, crossed over like some of these guys do, I think the Golf Channel would be even better than it is today. He was just so much of a pleasure to listen to.
Yeah, he was, and a great player. People forget what a great player he was. I mean, I think he had a couple close calls in the Open Championship. I know he made at least one Ryder Cup team, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So he was one of the rare guys who was a great player and then became a great commentator. I think Nick Faldo, I think he's gotten better in recent years. But you're right. I think he still has a way to go to be considered in, on the level of a Peter Allis.
Absolutely. So a couple of losses in the golf world, one close to home, one that came into our homes via the magic back in the day, the magic of TV. Now it's kind of an afterthought. Peter Allis and Arnold Walker, as we reminisce here on Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right, their golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. And that goes back to 1999. Everybody who's come into the program goes out with a job, and sometimes, almost always, a great job. For more information on the golf management program at Southwest Tech, you can go to swtc.edu/golf. Speaking of golf management programs, today we posted to the website the news that Howie Sam, the longtime women's golf coach at UW-Stout, has announced his retirement. He was involved both in their golf enterprise management program and was the dean of NCAA Division III women's coaches, 12-plus years as the women's coach at UW-Stout. Gary, when I went and looked it up, he now passes that mantle to three individuals, one of them being Andrea Wieland at UW-Whitewater, the others two being Greg Nicolai at Concordia Mequon and Amber Peterson at Lakeland University in Sheboygan. You just don't last as long in the college, in the coaching profession at any level anymore, but 12 years at Division III, a testament to what Howie Sam has meant to the WIAC.
Well, his record speaks for itself, Rob. I didn't know Howie. I know you knew him well and know him well because your daughter played for him. Rachel played for him, right?
That's right. And it yeah. was, and I tell the story to those who are interested. I tell you what, when Rachel was graduating high school and I knew that a gal named Britt McEmmerich, who's now an assistant professional over at Blackhawk Country Club, had just gone up there. I'd covered her at the State Journal when she was at Madison West. And I thought, man, you know, Division III, Britt was really good in high school. I thought she could have gone higher than that. And when Rachel went to UW-Stout, it totally changed my impression of what Division III golf was all about. I had covered Bo Ryan. I had covered Dave Vandermillen, George Crist, Bob Brezowitz, all the great names in football and basketball. And well, that's an emergency alert there, Gary. Like that.
I see your face.
Yeah. All right. That's good to know. There we go. Let's get that out of there. The magic of cell phones. But when Rachel went to Stout, and I figured out, you know, first of all, it gained me an appreciation for two things. One, the great opportunity that's available at the Division III level. And, you know, my daughter was not a great golfer coming out of high school, got better every year with the help of people like Derek Schnarr at Blackhawk and others that had helped along the way. But when she got to UW-Stout, I realized what made Howie special, and that's that he was able to figure out with each kid, you know, how to get them to maximize their potential. And he did that with Rachel. He did that his last season with Tristan Kliss out of Fox Valley Lutheran in Appleton and Madison McCambridge out of Boulder, Colorado. And they finished 1-2 in the league, it kind of got me thinking as we, you know, started the site, you know, I look for, as we, you know, as we advise people that ask us about college golf, what do you look for? Well, I look for a program that a lot like UW-Stout, where you have great academics. Again, a golf course management program where you can get into the business if you're interested. But if as it relates strictly to golf, Gary, can the coach make you better? And do you have opportunities to win conference championships and play for something at that level to make it worthwhile? Howie checked all those boxes. You know, these days, Andrea Wieland at Whitewater checks that box. Brandi Johnston right away at Carthage checked that box on the women's side. And you know, there's so many great men's coaches in the Division III ranks. Edgewood College, Carthage College, MSOE. I'm going to miss some. Wisconsin Lutheran, UW-Eau Claire right now sets the bar. And then what Andy DeLong is doing at UW-Stout on the men's side, we've added to the 2021 recruiting box a couple of his recruits, and we're hoping to hear back from them to write about them. And he's catching up. And of course, you know, St. Thomas up in Minnesota, which is transitioning to Division I, but provided Emmett Herb of Middleton with a great opportunity. You know, it just really is impressive what Division III golf has evolved into. And you've seen it, Gary, when you've been out covering golf tournaments. I mean, they're very much a presence right up there with the D1. I think the D1, D3, line is much less pronounced less pronounced than it was back in the day when you had to be really good to be at Division I and everybody else went to Division III. Now you have to be really good to play at the Division III level.
Yeah, you know, 25 years ago, I think quite a few guys and women on D3 teams had a hard time breaking 80. That's no longer the case. You can go up and down lineups on D3 schools and see players capable of breaking 70, not let alone 80. So you're right. The talent pool, as it's gotten bigger, more and more of these talent golfers have found their way to Division III schools and are flourishing.
That brings up a good stat on Howie Sam. Before Howie took over the program, nobody had broken 80 in the program's history. And now that the number of sub 80 rounds is in the hundreds, and you're right. And part of that, you know, Gary, is the hard work among the kids that go into that program. The other part, though, and the part that changed even from Rachel got to Stout, I think it's about 6 or 7, maybe 8 years ago now, is, you know, the competition level. UW-Stevens Point, UW-Eau Claire were really good in women's golf early, but the area around them, the Division III landscape, was not what it is today. Now you've got, you know, every year, you know, Stout, Whitewater, Oshkosh have all set records in at their conference championship. And again, thanks to what the WPGA has done to help create this competitive atmosphere among our young golfers, you know, college golf as a whole has gotten much, much better. And it's going to be big for Stout to, you know, maintain that, because they're going to have to figure out whether they, you know, go the route of a director of golf that oversees both programs, continue to have a men's and a women's, you know, coach and program separate from each other. You know, again, I don't know if you watched the 60 Minutes piece over the weekend, Gary. It's a slippery slope for all sports at the college level, but you know, nothing's guaranteed anymore. And the 60 Minutes piece referenced the sports cuts at the University of Minnesota. And you kind of got to appreciate what we have right now and hope that that continues.
Yeah, I missed the 60 Minutes piece, but I've heard a lot about it. I'm going to have to go back and YouTube that or find it somewhere and watch it, because I've heard some good things about it, some scary things that are happening to college programs because of the pandemic. But just to go back to the point you made, the talent pool, thanks to the WPGA and better coaching and better equipment for young people, has gotten bigger and bigger. And Division I players now are, you know, Division I coaches are recruiting the best of the best. But the D3, D2, and D3 players are just one notch below those guys and gals. So you're right. The talent pool has gotten much bigger, and D3 golf is much better than it was a couple decades ago.
And so Howie Sam, one of two retirees here this last week that kind of, you know, I think got people's attention. The other one might have slipped under the radar because it happened Friday after a WI Board of Control meeting. But Dave Anderson, the executive director at the WI, announcing his retirement after you know, a dozen or so years at the helm up there. And again, you know, the world has changed a lot in the last year, Gary, but the world has certainly changed a lot since Howie Sam started coaching women's golf at UW Stout. And since Dave Anderson took over the reins from Doug Chickering as the executive director, Dave had been on the staff before that. So he's been around there for a while. But it's a sobering reminder that, you know, maybe, and I think the message that maybe these two guys are sending is that maybe this is a good time, if as any, to turn the reins over to someone who's going to guide us through this new era. Because I mean, certainly when college golf resumes, Gary, in earnest, it's going to be like a fresh restart. And when the WIA comes out of this school year, I'm not sure what things are going to look like, because it really has been a testing year for the governing body for high school sports in the state.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, the hassles and the problems and everything that, that the WIAA had to wade through, that Dave and his people had to wade through over the last year, and will continue. I mean, there are challenges ahead, no doubt. We're talking about, you know, vaccines are on the horizon, but it doesn't appear that a majority of the populace is going to be vaccinated until maybe toward the end of this next year. So it's going to be another tough, you know, 8 or 10 months with a lot of problem solving to be done on all levels.
Gary, we're very much waiting for 2020 to be done, but we're not ready for the 2020 golf season to be done.
Yeah.
Perhaps the best photo of that I've seen in a long time is the Sand Valley photo of the snow and what Sand Valley looks like. Sand Valley is waiting for those who are looking forward to winter, but you still want to get one more round of golf in, don't you?
Oh, no doubt, Rob. I've got the weather.com up on my computer right in front of me here. 49 and sunny tomorrow in Milwaukee. So I don't know how many rounds of golf I played in December in my life, but I bet I can count them on one hand in Wisconsin. So we're in bonus territory here, Rob. We've had a great October and November weather-wise. You know, hundreds and hundreds of rounds of golf have been played on courses that are usually or almost always closed at this point. And there's still five courses in the Milwaukee County Park System open. Nagawaki's still open. Washington County Golf Course is still open. Those guys are taking tee times. So we're going to add to this impressive total of rounds played in our state over the next few days for sure.
Odana Hills, Yahara Hills. I've got one more installment of rankings to come out, and then I'm going to try to see how far north that line extends. But you're right. Are you still mowing your lawn? That's the question I have. That's the test as to whether golf courses stay open. Is Gary D'Amato still got the lawnmower gassed up?
No, but I did mow it three times in November, and usually by November 1st, the lawnmower is put away. So the grass was still growing through the middle of the month of November, for sure.
And as we wrap up the podcast, Gary, you've got a piece coming up here soon about just how busy courses were. Your assignment was to try to find a course that got to 50,000 rounds. We didn't quite get there with an 18-hole layout, but I know there's, one 45-hole layout that got there?
Yeah, Brightondale Links 45 holes got up to nearly 70,000 rounds. And they actually closed at the start of their season, Rob, because they're located right next to the Bong Recreation Area where there's a lot of hunters with rifles. Not a good mix to have golfers out there and have rifles. So they closed a little early. I mean, they could have stayed open. They could still be open now, in fact, if it wasn't for a gun deer season, and would be adding to that total. They'd be over 70,000 rounds by now. And I found a handful of courses, if not more, with over 40,000 rounds. It's interesting. Tom Hallett told me in 1998, Nagawaki did 50,000 rounds. That was the height of the Tiger Woods-inspired surge in golf, right, if you remember. And 50,000 rounds, that's basically every tee time filled just about every day that golf could be played through the summer. So, but Nag's over 40,000, and a number of courses are over 40,000 rounds for the year, which is sort of a hallmark big number for an 18-hole golf course.
And a telling sign as well, Gary, if you read Dennis McCann's story on the City of Madison course, they're going to reopen everything next year because you'd be nuts to close them. I mean, and, they did great rounds, revenue up. So they felt the boom of golf's, place in this pandemic. And, when I talked to Scott Kennedy for our chat coming up later this week, I wish we had a crystal ball to see if this is going to extend. What's your gut feeling saying, Gary, about golf's popularity and its promise in 2021?
Yeah, a lot of the guys I talked to for the story that's coming out Thursday on Wisconsin.golf seem to think that 2021 is going to be just as good, because I think it was Craig Zernadewski at Washington County who said people are still going to be hesitant to get together in large groups. We don't know what attendance at Brewers games is going to look like, but I don't think, and Craig doesn't think, that people are going to be eager to get together in big groups and pack arenas and pack stadiums. So he thinks golf is going to have similar numbers to what it did this year. And then the question becomes, the next year, how do we sustain that 20-30% growth? But most of the people I talk to seem to think golf is in a good place for 2021.
Well, it certainly has provided us a lot to write about competitively, recreationally through since we got things going in late April. And I think we'll be writing about a lot of these stories, Gary, through the winter, revisiting, people that were, in panic mode back in March and April, and now are sitting there and trying to count their dollar bills because they made quite a haul off of it. And again, I think the lesson we learned is squirrel it away when times aren't as good, but ride this wave as long as we can. That seems to be what you're hearing. That seems to be what I'm hearing. And I'm looking forward to 2021.
Yeah. One more interesting tidbit about Milwaukee County courses, the 14 Milwaukee County Parks courses, rounds are up over 80,000. Revenue is up $2 million over budget this year. And that despite the fact that they missed 6 weeks of golf back in April when the safer at home order was issued by Governor Evers. Chet Hendrickson with Milwaukee County Parks told me that he said we had basically six weeks of a donut. We lost $400,000 in revenue over that 6 weeks, and they still wound up $2 million over budget. That shows you how popular golf was.
And Gary, tell our listeners, Warnemont Golf Course, a par three course on the lake, what were they up this year?
Yeah, Warnemont went from 16,000 rounds in 2019 to 26,000, basically almost doubled their amount of play in 1 year. So pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible is right. A couple other things before we close. We also, of course, wrapping up our class rankings. one last look at the class of 2020 with a couple of familiar faces at the top that were supposed to go on and play college golf. One has sort of, one waiting for that to happen at the top of the rankings. And you can read about that tomorrow. And of course, don't forget Dennis McCann's Wisconsin.golf's 12 Days of Christmas. The holiday gift guide is up. And if you're looking for stuff for people on your gift list, by all means, check that out here on Wisconsin.golf. Gary, been a pleasure. And we'll look to talk again next week.
Sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.